Good afternoon, Times Square Church. Don't give up on God, because He's not going to give up on you. Amen. Just thank the Lord for His faithfulness. Where would we be without the faithfulness of the Lord? And I just know it's keeping power in my life, and I'm just so grateful for the Lord. So are you doing all right today?
Amen.
Doing all right today. Amen. What I want to talk to you this afternoon is simply one word, and that's the word maturity. Maturity. I want you to go with me to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to John chapter 21 and Luke chapter 5. John chapter 21 and Luke chapter 5. And let me just quickly say that I thank you again for just allowing me to come and share the word with you. And it's always an honor to be with you. We're going to start in Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Now when Jesus had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Go with me to John chapter 21, beginning at verse 3. "Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the nets on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many that was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples does ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fishes likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. And we just thank you for your faithfulness to work in our lives, God. Lord, we thank you for the confidence that we have that you that have begun a good work in our life, you're going to continue it in our life till we're either raptured or we breathe our last breath and walk through that door of death into the eternal presence of God. Lord, whichever way we go, until that time comes, you are faithful to work in our life, making us everything you desire us to be, God. And one more time, just remind us and encourage us in your faithfulness to work something in our life that is so far beyond our own strength, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we just saw in the reading of our text for this evening, the very first miracle that Jesus performed for his disciples and the very last miracle Jesus performed for his disciples are almost identical. When you parallel them, when you put them together and you look at it, these two miracles, the first miracle and the last miracle, are almost identical. In both these miracles, they were out fishing all night and they caught no fish. Then Jesus comes and speaks a word of instruction, cast your nets into the water, and they obey. And they catch so many fish that the ships are being threatened to sink. So again, when you look at these two miracles and really capture this, really the first miracle he performed for his disciples and the last one before he leaves them, they're almost identical. But yet, when you take a closer look at these two miracles, there are some differences. There are some distinctions. And I believe with all my heart, when you look at the differences, when you can find them, when you can pick them out and spot them, they really represent the faithfulness of Jesus to do something deep in the lives of the disciples. They really represent a maturity that the disciples have come into in their walk with God. And you'll understand a little bit more what I mean when we actually begin to look at the differences here. But let me first just begin by saying that in John chapter 21, the disciples are in a place of waiting. Remember this event, this miracle that happened in John chapter 21. Before it ever happened, in John chapter 20, the disciples had already seen the resurrected Lord twice in a very phenomenal way. They had received from him his breath, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had already recommissioned them with these words, "As my Father sent me, even so I send you." They had all gone from Jerusalem to Galilee in obedience to his command. And now at this time, they are in Galilee waiting on further instructions. So in John chapter 21, even though they are fishing, they are ultimately in a place of waiting upon the Lord. Whatever it is that the Lord is going to do next, whatever it is he's going to say next, they're waiting upon the Lord. And I just want to begin by saying that nothing reveals Christian maturity more than waiting places in your life. Nothing reveals Christian maturity in the life of a believer than those times when you are just in a place of having to wait upon the Lord. Listen, when you are in a place of waiting upon the Lord, that is really where the strength of Christ is reflected in your life. When you're in a place where you have to wait upon the Lord, that is where the meekness of Christ really begins to shine through your life in that place of waiting. You know, I'm reminded of that scripture, Hebrews 6:12, that says, "Be followers of them who through faith and patience receive the promises." Again, the writer said, "Be followers of them who through faith and patience receive the promises." Beloved, I truly believe that patience is the measuring line of faith. I believe that with all my heart. See, how does God know I have great faith? Because I am able to exercise great patience in waiting upon the Lord and for the promises of the Lord to be fulfilled. That's how he knows I have great faith. So again, nothing reveals Christian maturity and strength more than the times of patiently waiting upon the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to look at the differences between these two miracles. Even though they're almost identical, if you look closely, there are some differences. And in these differences, I really want to see the faithful working of Christ in the disciples' lives. So first of all, I want us to take note that the first time Jesus performed this miracle in Luke chapter 5, he's in the boat with his disciples. But 3.5 years later, the same miracle, Jesus is not in the boat, but he is standing on the seashore calling out to them. In other words, they're seeing him from a distance now. In other words, they're hearing his call from a distance now. There can be something in their heart that says, he's not in the boat with me like he was the first time. The first time in my weariness and disappointment and discouragement, his presence was in the boat with me. I could sense his nearness. In the boat, when he spoke to let down my net, I could see the strength in his countenance. I could see the sureness in his eyes. I could hear the calm assurance in his voice. I could feel the comfort of his presence. But now this time, he's not in the boat. He's actually calling to me from a distance. And beloved, as we mature in Christ, there's just going to be those trials we have where Christ just seems to be distant. In this trial that I'm in this time of waiting that I am in, I just don't sense the nearness of his presence as times and trials before. I just don't sense his presence with me in this trial. I just don't really sense his presence with me in this time of discouragement. I really don't sense his presence with me in this time of waiting upon the Lord. Christ feels distant from me. Have you ever had those trials where you're really going through a trial and yet you really don't sense the nearness of his presence? We know that he's with us. We know that. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But just sensing and feeling the nearness of his presence and the comfort of his presence. Have you ever had those times when you come to church and you're really going through a battle and it really seems like heaven is open to over everyone else but you? Lord, I'm in the trial of my life, and I've come to church, but here I am, and I don't feel nothing. I don't feel anything. I don't sense your presence moving in my life in the worship. I just feel very dry in this place. And beloved, I'm just telling you, there are just times when we're maturing in the Lord. We're going to go through trials, and we're not always going to feel his presence. We're not always going to feel the comfort of his nearness. It's just not, this don't happen all the time. But here's what I want us to understand. In John chapter 21, though Jesus wasn't in the boat, his word still put fish in the net. In other words, what I'm saying is this: whether in the boat or standing at a distance, his word still has the same power. And my point is simply this: when in those trials, when we don't always sense his nearness, in those waiting times and places of struggle and storm, when we don't always sense the great comfort of his presence, but yet we choose to continue to look to his word and continue to trust in his word and continue to obey his word, that just reveals Christ's faithfulness to work in our lives a deeper faith and trust in his word. Beloved, in those times where I'm really going through a struggle and yet it's a dry time, I really don't sense his presence in my prayers. I really don't sense his presence in my worship. Beloved, that's really just his faithfulness working a deeper place of trust and a deeper place of faith in his word. And I just want to tell you, listen, faith in the word of God is everything. It's everything. The steadfastness and surety of his word in a believer's life is everything. And there are just times the Lord, in those dry times, he's just going to work a deeper place of faith and trust in our lives. Because faith in his word is everything. You know, I think I shared this with you once before, but I heard a pastor say, I'd rather be in the Word than in heaven. And when he said that, I couldn't help but scratch my head. What in the world does he mean by that? That is a very strange thing to say. I'd rather be in the Word than in heaven. But then he brought out that scripture that says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will abide forever. Amen. And we need to rest assured, if anything is going to stand forever, it's the faithfulness of God's word. And we got to remember, whether he's in my boat or he's calling off from a distance or calling off from a distance or really calling off from a distance, his word still has power to put fish in the net. Amen. Now, let's just look at another difference. I want you to put your marker in John chapter 21. Hold that there and go with me back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, look with me at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Now go with me to John chapter 21, verse 11. Verse 11 says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Amen. So the second difference we see in these identical miracles is that the first time the nets couldn't hold the fish and they broke. But the second time the net did not break, but held strong. And in this unbroken net, Jesus is telling his disciples something in John chapter 21. He's telling them this. Like this unbroken net, you have a strength in God that you didn't have 3 years ago the first time I performed this miracle. This unbroken net is a physical picture of a spiritual work that has been taking place in your life for the last 3 years you've been walking with me. That God has put a strength in your life. And that strength has been ever increasing in your life. You know, I like to refer to Luke chapter 5 as Peter's born again day. You know, that is the day that he resolved in his heart, I'm going to follow Christ and I'm going to walk with Christ. I'm going to be a disciple of Christ. But yet in Luke chapter 5, if you'll notice, the net broke. But 3.5 years later, in John chapter 21, same miracle. This time the net didn't break. The net held fast. The net was strong. And it's as if Jesus is saying, he's saying this to Peter. Peter, you have a strength in me now that you didn't have the day you were born again. You have a strength in me now that you didn't have that moment you decided in your heart to walk with me. That these 3.5 years that you've been walking with me, God has planted a strength in you. And that strength has been increasing and increasing and increasing in your life. And beloved, I don't know what your born again day is. Maybe it's been 10 days ago. Maybe it's been 10 years ago. But I'm telling you, at this very moment, you have a strength in the Lord that you didn't have back then. Why? Because God has been faithfully working a strength in your life, and that strength has been increasing in our life. And I thank God for that. He's saying, Peter, 3.5 years ago, I began a work in your life. And I want you to take a look at these nets. These nets reflect that work. These nets are strong. And Peter, I want you to understand that there is a strength in your life because of my faithfulness to work in your life. Amen. Thirdly, in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus performed this miracle the first time, Peter's immediate response was to bid the Lord, depart from me, because I am a sinful man. But 3 years later, Peter doesn't bid him to depart, but he throws himself in the water and passionately moves toward Jesus. And beloved, the point I'm simply making is this. Peter has something he didn't have 3 years ago, an intimate knowledge of Christ. He has walked with him and talked with him, and at times have been rescued by him. In those 3.5 years he's walked with God, the love of Christ and the mercy of Christ and the goodness of Christ and the faithfulness of Christ has reached into this man's heart and has changed him as he walked with the Lord. And in those 3.5 years, this is what has happened. Peter has become secure in who Christ is. He's become secure in his love. He's become secure in Christ's mercy. He's become secure in his goodness. In other words, even in his places of failure, he's not pulling away from the Lord. And he's not saying, Lord, would you just pull away from me and depart? No, even in his place of failure, there's a security in his life, and he's still moving toward Christ. And beloved, this is always a mark of maturity. See, I believe with all my heart that in all of our weaknesses, in all of our failings, in all of our inadequacies, Christ just wants us to be secure in who he is. He wants something in the heart that says, even though I'm weak, his mercy covers my weaknesses. Even though there's places where I fail, his sufficiency covers my failures. Even though there's places of strengthlessness and inability in my life, his strength covers my inabilities, and I am secure in him. And beloved, to me, that is a mark of maturity. Just being secure in who you are in him. Sure, I'm weak, but his strength covers my weaknesses. And sure, there are times that I fail, but his success covers my failures. And in my weaknesses and in my failures and in my strengthless places, I'm going to move toward him. Because I have found out everything I need him to be, he will be it when I need it. And I'm moving toward him. Amen. And I want you to notice something in John chapter 21. Look with me at verse 10 and 11. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Just stop there. So Jesus says, bring the fish that you caught. And I want you to notice that it was Peter. He was the very first one who laid hold of the net and brought them to land. And here's my point. When you are secure in Christ, it truly produces a strength and a confidence in the work of the Lord. There is just a readiness in your heart to put your hands to everything that God has called you to put your hands to. Amen. There's just a confidence. God, I'm secure in you. In my weakness, you're my strength. God, in my failure, you write your success over my life. It's not about my failure. It's about your success. And I'm telling you, when you have that kind of maturity and security in your life, you are just ready to put your hands to anything God calls you to. Amen. And I want you to look at something else. I want you to look with me again at verse 11. I want you to see something about these fish. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. What kind of fishes were these? These were great fishes, right? That word great in the Greek language actually means big fishes. They were mighty fishes. It means strong fishes. So in other words, Jesus miraculously caused the big, strong fish to jump in the net. That's what he did. Got to capture that. His power went over the sea and he drew the big fishes and the strong fishes and the mighty fishes and the tough fishes. Them are the fish he got into the net. And can I just tell you, it really speaks about our destiny as believers. Every single one of us are called to become great men and women of God. Every single one of us are called to become great in the things of God. Listen, anyone can become a great man of God. Anyone can become a great woman of God. Doesn't matter what your past is. Doesn't matter what the things you're struggling in your life with right now. Doesn't matter the places that we still feel like we're failing in. God says, that doesn't change my destiny. You are called to be great. And it has nothing to do with your strength. It has everything to do with my faithfulness in your life. And you will fulfill your destiny. You may sink 100 times, but I'll lift you up 100 times. And there will come a day you're not sinking, Peter, but you're lifting, Peter. There may come a day when you're not sinking in the water and having me to lift you up. But there will come a day you're walking to the temple and see a lame man and say, silver and gold, I don't have none. But I do have a strength in my life, the strength of Christ, to lift you up out of your powerless places. Amen. And there's just one more thing I want us to notice in verse 11. Look at me at verse 11. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for they were so many, yet was not the net broken. So here's the point the writer's making. There was a lot of big, mighty, great, strong fish in the net. 153 to be exact. But as many and as big and as strong as the fish were, though they fought and yanked and pulled and tugged on the net, yet the net held strong and did not break. And beloved, to me, this net really represents the strength of the disciples' character. After 3 years of walking with Jesus, they were men who were growing strong in character. And here's my point. Because the Lord is making us people of strong character, we're not going to lose the fruit of our ministry. Amen. We're not going to lose the fruit of our ministry. Our character and our integrity and our honor and our truthfulness is going to make our ministries strong. Beloved, what is it that truly makes your ministry strong? Let me tell you what it is. It's who you are. It's your character. It's your integrity. It's truth written deep in the inward parts. And because God is faithful to make us a people strong in spirit, people strong in Christ-like character, people of honesty and truth and integrity, I'm telling you, you will not lose the fruit of your ministry. Amen. See, to me, what that net represents, can represent, is the ministry. You know, it takes different people, not just one person, it takes different people to make a ministry work. It doesn't just take Pastor Carter to make this church work. It takes Pastor Patrick and Pastor William. It takes the choir. It just takes everyone in their place doing their function. And here's my point. Listen, when you're in ministry, wherever you're at, you just have to have a strength in the Lord. You have to be able to keep your part of the net. You know, if the fish are over here tugging and pulling and yanking and kicking and kicking over here in the choir section, maybe not so much on the pastoral section, but they're really kicking over here in the choir section. Well, there has to be a strength in the choir to keep their part of the net. You understand? But see, what I'm simply saying is because God is faithful to work that strength in our lives, our ministries won't lose their fruit. There may be a lot of yanking and tugging and pulling on the net. That ministry is going to hold firm. And that fruit's going to be kept. Amen. You You know, sometimes the little fishes in our net kick hard. Because the flesh don't die easy. I don't know about you, but when my flesh is dying, sometimes I can really kick. But I thank God He's put me in a ministry, put me under a covering where the leadership is strong in the Lord. And when my flesh is dying and I'm kicking, their part of the net is standing strong. There's just something in their heart that says, you know what, I'll cover all your kicking and fussing and whining and complaining. I'll cover it all with mercy and compassion, because that is the man or the woman God has made me to be. And I'm going to keep my part of the net. You're not getting out of here. You're going to fulfill your destiny. You're going to become a great fish in my net. Amen. Stand with me. Beloved, my altar call is just going to be very simple. It's going to be an altar call of one more time, just casting our confidence in the Lord. And the Philippians 1:6 says, be confident that he which begun a good work in you is going to complete that work. Notice what Paul didn't say. He didn't say, be discouraged. He didn't say, be doubtful. No, he said, be confident. And I believe there are people here this afternoon, and maybe you've gotten your eyes off of the ability of God and the faithfulness of God to keep working in your life. Maybe there are people here and there are just places in your life you haven't seen growth as quickly as you would like to see growth. You haven't seen change as quickly as you'd like to see change. And you're just really wondering, am I growing at all? Am I changing at all? I mean, there are just places I should be beyond this, but why do I still struggle with this? I really don't feel like I'm changing. Well, that's because you've gotten your eyes back on you. And I'm telling you, you're maturing in the Lord. There is a growing process taking place in your life. If you love the Lord and your heart is just to follow the Lord, I'm telling you, you may not see it here to understand it, but it doesn't change the fact that you're growing and you're maturing. You know, we don't always have to see it. We don't always have to feel it. We don't always have to understand it. We just have to take it that the Word says it. And that's good enough. But I just want to give an altar call for discouraged people. You know, Pastor Tim, I ask myself, am I really changing? Am I really growing? Well, the Lord is inviting you to come to the altar tonight. Take your discouragement, take your doubts, give it to Him. And one more time, clothe yourself with confidence. You're changing. He's doing a good work in your life. Amen. You know, so many times we keep our eyes on places where we haven't changed that we don't see the places where we have changed. Amen. Now, sure, there may be areas that you haven't come into complete victory or complete perfection yet. But you know what? There are areas where you have really changed. And God just wants you to, one more time, bring your discouragement and your doubts, give it to Him, and just clothe yourself with confidence. He that has begun a good work in me is faithful to complete that work. So, come on. All you discouraged, doubting folks. My heart. Amen. You know I love you, right? Amen. Come on. As the band plays and we worship, let's just give our doubts and discouragement to the Lord. And let's just one more time declare Him, God, You are faithful. You will finish what You started in my life. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your incredible faithfulness, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, that we will become everything that you have destined us to become, God. Thank you, God, that in places of weakness, we will grow in strength. God, places of captivity, we will grow in freedom. God, Father, I thank you that we will fulfill our destiny, God, and we just give you glory for it, Lord. And Father, I want to thank you, God, for those that have come, Lord, to this altar call. God, Father, I just pray that you would just take now, you would just take all their doubts, God, all their discouragement, and God, you would just lift it off their shoulders. God, you would lift it off their hearts. And God, you would just breathe in a fresh vision of the faithfulness of God to work in our lives, Lord. Father, each one of us, God, we will fulfill our destiny, God. Doesn't matter what our past is. Doesn't matter the weaknesses in our life. It doesn't matter the places where we feel like we're still faltering in. God, you're going to work in our life. We're going to change from glory to glory. God, we're going to fulfill our destiny, which is to be conformed to the image of Christ. God, you're making us strong in spirit. God, I thank you that. God, I thank you. It has nothing to do with our strength, but it has everything to do with your victory on the cross and your power in our life. Jesus, if you can triumph over death in the grave, you can triumph over everything in our life. And God, I thank you that we can walk out of here with confidence, convinced that God started a good work in my life and he's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. I thank you for that, God. And Lord, I pray for those that have come. Lord, maybe this afternoon they're feeling like, Jesus, you're not in my boat. You're actually standing at a distance. And I really don't sense the richness of your presence moving in my life. I feel dry. But God, that doesn't change the fact that you're with them. And I pray that you would just put an assurance in their heart. I'm with you. I'm with you. In the dry times, I'm with you. In the rainy times, I'm with you. On the mountain, I'm with you. In the valley, I'm with you. I will always be with you. And I'm doing something in your life. And God, we just thank you for your faithfulness in our life, God. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. Beloved, let's just sing that song again and offer it as just a moment of worship, just to thank God for his faithfulness in our life. And just declare the Lord is faithful. Let's worship the Lord.